Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God is our second lesson this morning, recorded in 2 Timothy, that includes these words. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. When was the last time that you really felt ashamed of yourself? I understand you're not wanting to say out loud when that was, because most likely it involved a sin that you committed, or an act of love that you omitted. I've often thought that a greater sense of shame in me and in others would be a most helpful thing to have in this day and age of anything goes. One thing, however, that we never want to be ashamed about is what we believe. We never want to be ashamed to testify to what we believe, to defend what we believe. How sad it is and sorry it is when we do not seize the opportunity to witness to our faith or to generously support it with our material sacrifices. How often doesn't the temptation come when we see someone, a fellow Christian, who is boldly witnessing their faith or suffering for it, that we do not back them up, but are almost embarrassed by them or ashamed about them? The Apostle Paul, in his prison cell in Rome, from which he would soon be taken to be executed by a Roman sword, wanted to remind his son in the faith, Timothy, about just that very thing. He reminds Timothy and he reminds us, there's nothing to be ashamed about. First of all, because we have received a holy calling. And secondly, because we have received the pattern of sound doctrine. Have you ever thought about what would be going through your minds if you were about to be executed, about to be martyred because of your saving faith in Jesus Christ? I think that's one of those things that we won't really know what we would think until it was happening to us. It was happening to the Apostle Paul, and he uses this final epistle as his last will and testament to share the thoughts that were going through his mind with young Timothy. And we can summarize those thoughts really as three. Paul gives thanks to God for the opportunity to have served him as an apostle, as a teacher. Paul is filled with gratitude to God for the opportunity to suffer for the sake of the gospel. And Paul has faith that God would provide for him and protect him even as he passes through the last moments of his life. For the Apostle Paul and for Timothy and for us, when we believe what the Scriptures say, when we testify and support what the Scriptures say, there is nothing to be ashamed about. Paul didn't want his young charge to ever forget that. And so he wrote, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner." In fact, Paul encouraged Timothy and encourages us to join in that suffering for the sake of the gospel, to join in that defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says we are to join him in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. The NIV translates that called to a holy life. There's nothing to be ashamed about because God has saved us. He has called us to live a holy life. And there's two ways we can understand that. Either that life is holy because the call to it comes from the holy God, or it's a holy life because you and I, through faith, possess the righteousness of Christ, His holiness under the law, and that righteousness manifests itself in our obedience to God's will, in the holiness of our sanctification. In reality, those things go hand in hand. They all exist together. But the point Paul makes is that God has called us and God has saved us not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. And that's why there's nothing to be ashamed about. Nothing to worry about as we testify and witness to the truth. Because God didn't call us because of anything we have done, but in eternity, God called us and chose us in Christ to be His own by His grace and purpose. And He has revealed that grace and purpose in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Paul says, I'm not ashamed because I know what I have believed, and I know in whom I have believed, and about whom I testify. Now, there are times in life when we need to be ashamed. And that's when we don't follow God's purposes or don't rely on what He has done for us or don't follow His will. For example, if I as a Christian begin to think that I don't have a single spiritual gift that I can make use of for the common good in the spiritual body of Christ for the benefit of my fellow believers, then I need to be ashamed of myself. If I begin to think as a Christian, there's one corner of my life when I can ignore God's commandments and live my life the way I want rather than the way that He commands, then I need to be ashamed of myself. If I begin to think that there's something I can contribute, there's something that I can do, there's something that I can offer to God for my salvation, then I need to be ashamed of myself. But with Paul, we believe that Jesus Christ has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is the faith that comes from God. This is the faith the Father planned in eternity. It's the salvation that the Son carried out by His death and resurrection. It is the faith that the Holy Spirit has given to me and to you through the means of grace. There is nothing to be ashamed about because God has in Jesus Christ saved us from the guilt and the shame of our sins so that we stand before the Father, holy in God's sight, covered by Christ's blood. That is our holy calling. But there's nothing to be ashamed about either, because God has given us the pattern of sound teaching. The word pattern here means an outline, a rough sketch. It would be the initial outline that an artist would make from which the final picture would come. It would be the first rough draft of a novel, summarizing the parts of that novel from which the rest of the novel would come. For our faith, we can think about the Small Catechism. The Small Catechism of Martin Luther is the pattern of sound teaching. It is the summary, the rough overview of the teachings of Scripture from which we were taught and from which we teach our children all of the truths of the Holy Scripture. Timothy and we are to combine that pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. So Paul had handed down to Timothy this rough draft, this overview as the beginning from which would come all of his knowledge and teaching of the Holy Scripture. And he tells him, now combine that with faith and love. Now there is an idea that some people have, and they should be ashamed of themselves, that orthodox teaching is inconsistent with love. That sound doctrine is something that's not compatible with love for others. Sound teaching without love is what we call dead orthodoxy. Love without sound doctrine is what we call enthusiasm. One cannot and dare not exist without the other. Sound doctrine, literally the word means healthy. Healthy doctrine, faith in Christ, love for God and love for my neighbor exist together like the three legs on a stool. They are all three the foundation of our faith. These are the pattern for our lives as Christians. My emotions, my sinful desires, human wisdom, popular philosophy, those are not good starting places for healthy teaching. They're not good starting places for saving faith or godly living. What had Paul taught Timothy? What have our fathers taught us? This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but as it has now been revealed through the appearing of Christ Jesus. That's what Paul believed. That's what he handed down to Timothy. That's what Timothy has handed down to us. That's what we hand down to our children. The pattern of sound teaching. The Trinity. The deity of Christ. The total depravity of man. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, revealed in Scripture alone. Justification by faith. The redemption objectively of the entire world by Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." And earlier Paul had written, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul had given to Timothy the Holy Scriptures, and Timothy has given these to us, and we give them to our children. And the heart and soul of those Scriptures is Christ Jesus, the eternal grace and purpose of God for our salvation. That is the deposit that God has given us, and we are to guard it. Literally, stand over it and watch it. Keep watch over it. Don't let anybody take it away from us. Don't get careless with it, but guard it. And here the sense of the word deposit is not something that you get the first part of and then the rest comes later. It means something that you give to someone else to take care of. After worship this morning, someone will count our offerings of love to the Lord. And then someone will take it to the bank as our deposit, so that the bank takes care of it. The bank watches over it for us. And if they're doing their job, they'll tell us, hey, this is no burden on us. We love to do this. We're happy to do this. We want to serve you by doing this. And that is our attitude, isn't it, toward that pattern of sound doctrine that we combine with love and faith. We're not doing God any favors by guarding His Word. It's our privilege. It's our joy. It's our responsibility. Dare we even say it is our passion as people who have been saved, people who have been called to that holy life. The Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts by faith, enabling us to guard that good deposit. And as God has entrusted us with His Word, so we, with Paul, entrust ourselves, body and soul. We entrust our very lives into God's hands, now and in the hour of our deaths. There is nothing to be ashamed about, because all we have comes from God. And with all we have, we go to God. Amen.